Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. It's another solo episode today, so you know what that means. It's just you and I. So let's jump right the fuck into it. Let's do this. I want to talk about relationships, attachments, but not attachments like you think. Not physical or emotional attachments to people. I'm talking about spiritual attachments, things that can actually attach themselves to you and bring harm and negativity into your life. I got a really, really good story when it comes to that, so stay tuned. I'm also going to go over everyone's favorite topic, which is ghosts. I know yesterday was Halloween. I release my episode every Thursday, so today's going to be Halloween for In Your Head. So we're going to bring in ghosts. We're going to talk about that. I got a couple of stories that are probably going to make you shit your ass out, but let's talk about the heavy stuff first. You guys know I like to start the pot off with ranting or raving and kind of getting all hyped up there. And then I like to level everything out and make it a little bit more positive, a little bit more flowy. So that way you can go on about your day, get all that stressful shit out of the way, put a smile on you, get you going. Let's talk relationships. That's everyone's favorite topic. You guys know that I do readings each and every day, all day long. And my number one request when it comes to readings is love. What's my love life like? Am I going to be involved in a relationship? 8 out of 10 people that come to me for relationship advice are people that are codependent in a relationship. These are people that cannot function in life unless they're involved in a relationship. They cannot do anything unless they have a partner in their life. They must have somebody by their side all the time. Can you imagine what it does to the person that they're dating? To put that level of responsibility on someone's shoulders, to have them feel like they need to somewhat look after you or constantly be by your side so you don't get depressed or you don't hurt or that you don't get emotional. Can you imagine what it does to that person? No, you can't imagine because you're too busy worrying about yourself and how you're feeling in the relationship. I tell each and every one of my clients that I will read you about 2 or 3 times and that is it. That reason being is I don't want you becoming codependent on me. I don't want you reaching out to me every month asking what your life is going to be like month after month after month. Motherfucker, get up and live your life. Go do you. That's what I'm going to tell you. I've seen it in my own personal life. I've grown up with it. It is disgusting. It's something that I will not fucking tolerate. I will not do. When it comes to relationships, I do not get myself involved in one unless I'm 100% ready to get involved in one like I am now. So whenever I give a reading and they come to me and they're saying, you know, my last relationship didn't work out, you know, can you tell me what's going on? I've mentioned this before. I like to start my sessions off with the first 5 to 15 minutes going in on what's going on with you right now. What's hindering you at this point, the present time in your life now from reaching the next level, the next phase of life here? What is your fucking problem? Sure, I can go into the future. I can pick out dates and I can tell you what's to come here, but we have to sit with our thumbs up our ass waiting for it to come into fruition. It could take months. It could take weeks. It could take years, whatever the case may be. If I dip into the past, again, there's no real way to confirm that. You're going to have to take my word for it. But there's always a way to confirm what's going on with you right now and what you are feeling. That's how I like to conduct my readings. That's what sets me apart from other psychics. And that's where I bring up you are wounded. You have issues when it comes to relationships. You are codependent. You need to start reclaiming your power, your strength. Own who you are before you even think about getting involved in a relationship. And people honestly don't like to fucking hear that shit. They're like, well, I thought I was doing good or whatever. You know, I feel like I'm ready here. And then I ask, well, what did you do? What did you do to heal yourself from the last relationship? And it's always some bullshit story. You know, I really started doing some reflecting on myself and I started to realize that I'm bigger and better than that. And I'm ready for another relationship. 2 months later, after being in a relationship they were involved in for about 2 years or a year, they're ready to get back in one in 2 months. That is not nearly enough time to take a lifetime of stupidity out of your fucking head. 2 months and you're better. You're ready to be in a relationship. You learned all your fucking lessons. Bullshit. That is just you wanting to hurry up and wanting to get involved in another relationship so that way that you're not alone anymore and you don't have to navigate through life all by yourself. But guess what, honey? What happens if that person dies? What if that person decides they want to break up with you? What are you going to do then? You do realize that you came here alone. You're going to go out alone. This person's not going to come with you. That eventually you're going to have to stand on your own 2 feet. You're going to have to live your own life. You're going to have to tie your own fucking shoes. And you're going to have to be responsible for your own fucking feelings. At what point in your life now are you going to start accepting that and start realizing that and start working on what matters the most, which is you? When is that time going to come? Because you're so busy distracting yourself with relationships that all you're doing is giving your time to somebody else and not really fixing you. God made me a man this lifetime because he knew that I would start some bullshit up as a woman. I am too fucking strong. I am too fucking fierce. I am too about myself to not want to take advantage of it if I was a woman. I always tell you guys hold more cards than you fucking realize. Your strength, your beauty. When a woman is actually in control of who she is and her destiny and her life, there's that aura about them that fucking radiates and permeates the living shit out of the earth. It's so strong. It's so fucking powerful. But not a lot of women are doing that. Not a lot of women are stepping up and taking control of their power and reclaiming their strength. A man loves nothing more than that. I don't care what anybody else says about a man wants a sweet girl or whatever, blah, blah, blah. They don't. That gets boring right away. A guy gets involved in a relationship, he starts seeing that you're emotional, and then again, he starts resenting you. Oh, I better not say this because I don't want her to start crying, or I don't want to piss her off here, or I don't want to trigger something here. It's not fair to that fucking person to have to walk on eggshells throughout the relationship here out of fear that they're going to hurt your fucking feelings. That is bullshit. I blame both people at that point. You fucking know better. You know that this relationship is not going to work out. You know that if you invest any more time and energy into it, she's going to become more attached to you and she's really not going to let go of you. She's going to be like a fucking rash you can't get rid of. So take the initiative, take the responsibility to say, you know what? This isn't working out for me, and get yourself right the fuck out of it before it gets worse. Because again, what ends up happening is resentment starts to set in. The relationship gets fucked up. That's what I'm trying to get people to do, is to stay away from that kind of shit and really, really take the time to go within and figure out what their insecurities and what their fears are when it comes to being alone with themselves and not wanting to accept who they are as a person and feeling the need to be involved in a relationship constantly. Go within, get rid of all that shit, make amends with your past, make peace with yourself here. I'm not telling you that you should forget about it and disregard everything here, but at what point do you make peace with it? At what point do you heal? At what point do you reclaim your life? At what point do you reclaim your power? You're going to have to do it eventually. We get hurt left and right. As a kid, you fell off your fucking bike. You scraped your knee. You jumped off the curb. You fucking twisted your ankle. We get hurt every day through life here. When it comes to love, it's no fucking exception. It's just a mental hurt. It's just an emotional hurt here, but it's hurt nonetheless. You have to go through it in order to figure out what makes you tick and what doesn't make you tick, what it is that you can expect and what it is that you can't expect, what it is that you're willing to accept and what it is that you're not willing to accept. Figure that fucking bullshit out. Stop with the fucking game. Stop with the insecurity. Stop with the codependency here. Again, if you are the kind of person that cannot function on your own throughout life and you constantly need somebody to hold your hand, you're not relationship material. No relationship is going to work out for you. You'd have to find a complete and utter fucking retard to hook, to bait there. They would have to be fucking mindless. They would have to have something wrong with them and not have the wherewithal to think for themselves. A robot. That's basically what you're going to get yourself involved in here. So good luck to you if that's the kind of relationship you want to get yourself involved in, because you're too fucking lazy or you're too fucking weak to take care of yourself and to get yourself out of your fucking mess. Then by all means, go for it. Have a miserable fucking life. Stay the fuck away from us. That's relationships right now. As I mentioned before, a lot of my friends are women. I love my women. I consider myself one of the girls. So, you know, I'm with my girlfriends and I'm watching them getting involved in relationships and seeing how they're interacting with their partner, their lover, their husband, their spouse, whatever the fuck the case may be. I watch how this all unfolds. And I used to have a really, really good friend of mine growing up that was codependent in relationships, even at a young age. I'm talking like 14, 15. You can already see that she was one of those people that was always going to feel the need to be involved in a relationship. But she was self-sabotaging. She was very intuitive in her own right, not psychic, but very intuitive. She was like a natural born lie detector. She can always tell when somebody was lying to her. And I remember meeting all her boyfriends, and this got all the way up until we were in our 20s, and she was still doing this shit. She's the kind of girl that would, as soon as she would hook up with a guy and, you know, have access to their house, you know, get their keys to their house, she would be the first one to start snooping around and looking for shit. You know, she'd call me over and say, he's gone, let's look through all his stuff here and figure out what's going on. And like a dumb fuck, I was intrigued by it. I'd like to bring in my own psychic shit and, you know, and dig deep and find out what was going on with this person here and really, you know, hone in on them. So I was guilty of it as well too, but I would always tell her, you know, eventually you're just going to have to trust somebody. You cannot go in a relationship like this where you're constantly worrying about what they're going to do. You know, if they're cheating on you or who they are and bringing up their past here. Everybody has a past here and you are no exception. If I told him how many dicks that you sucked in a year alone, Do you think he'd be with you? Being funny, being funny. But it's true, though. You can't blame somebody for their past. You can only blame them for what they bring into the present and what they do to you here. I don't want to hear about, and just to back myself up here, if you end up getting involved with somebody that has a very checkered past here, you are assuming the risk and the responsibility when it comes to that fucking person. So don't be a fucking idiot and be like, oh, woe is me, he cheated on me, or I caught him with some other fucking bitch. You knew exactly what you were getting yourself into when you got yourself involved in that relationship. Don't blame that motherfucker, because you had your part in it too. Right back to the story. So when it comes to her, I would tell her that, you know, we can go back and forth with your past here. You have to learn to start trusting people. Didn't end up working out for her so much. This is somebody, I mentioned this on an episode before when it came to friends and closing doors. This is somebody that was just never going to grow up. Their mentality was never going to change. They were always going to have that codependent behavior about them and want to be in and out of relationships here when they weren't even relationship material themselves. Like, it's too stressful. Like, there's no fucking way that I could put up with that type of bullshit here. Either I could trust you or I don't trust you. So when it comes to relationships and me and whether or not I'm actually ready for a relationship, I've told you this before, I am ready. I am not going to do any games. I'm not going to do any mental manipulation. I'm going to go into this with my eyes wide open, 100% open to the idea of a relationship and opening myself up to the relationship. But I'm also going to take my time with it. I'm not going to jump into it right away. I'm going to get to know that person there. And the biggest thing right now is I'm not going to fucking settle. I refuse to settle. When you settle, you end up, again, resentful. And there's a lot of fucking bitches with fucked up faces being resentful when it comes to their relationships. Ain't me. Ain't gonna fucking happen. The minute that I smell some bullshit or I don't like what's going on, I'm gonna back off and say, nope, not for me. Been there, done that. I know how I'm gonna be. If I start resenting a person or I don't like something about them, I'm gonna fucking pick and pick and pick and pick at it till it comes all the way off. Don't settle, people. Take a real good look at yourself. Realize what you have to offer. Look at all the gifts that you've been blessed with. Look at what you came here to do. Think better of yourself. Think higher of yourself. Align yourself with somebody that's on the same level or that's a level up than you that you can grow and learn with. Take your time. Develop the relationship. The key to a healthy relationship is being best friends with that person. If you can be friends with your partner, game over. If you can have serious conversations and you can cut each other up and start talking shit to each other, like bantering back and forth and bring comedy to the relationship, and you can genuinely laugh with this person, that's a fucking good relationship. If you're constantly on guard and not feeling like you can really be yourself or 100% let go because you're afraid that you're going to look weird to them or you're hesitant or cautious or more reserved in the relationship, that's not a good fit for you. It's not good for the other person because, again, they're trying to make you happy, and to them, they're not seeing the fruits of their labor by all the time they're investing in you, because they're not seeing you budge or change here. You're going to, again, make them feel inadequate. Fix yourself. Get right with yourself. Figure out what it is that you want in a relationship. Again, don't fucking settle. There's too many goddamn people on this planet to settle for somebody. Take the time to go within and clear yourself out. Make sure that you are absolutely 100% ready for the relationship and you're not getting into it for the wrong fucking reasons because you need somebody to walk with you or you need somebody with you by your side the whole fucking time. Get right with yourself. Men, when it comes to women, don't hold back. Do not fucking hold back. What you end up doing is you end up, because you feel sorry for them and you don't want to hurt their feelings, you end up condoning their stupidity and their behavior, and they end up getting worse rather than better because they can always push that extra button with you and you're going to fucking stick around. Set boundaries. Again, draw a fucking huge line in the sand, both men and women, when it comes to partners here. Don't fucking settle. I think it's so important to have open communication in a relationship. There's a couple of things that I will not stand for when it comes to relationships. It's lying and having my fucking time wasted. Either one of those two things come up, you're gone. I can't fucking do it. The minute that you lie once, you will do it over and over again. I got my ass whooped when it came to that line right there. As I told you before, I did that when I did the spells and was doing the glamour spell and all that stuff there, and I was feeling myself and becoming more positive. I started to go through a little bit of a change. I was more, my sense of style was a little bit different. I was a little bit more bold with what I was wearing. I put myself out there a little bit more. I had like the blonde hair, the green contacts. I was definitely feeling myself. I ended up meeting this guy on gay.com. That's what we used to use when I was fucking around. This was in the early 2000s, right before cyber sex started getting really huge. And that's where you would go to hook up. You go to the chat room on gay.com, find somebody in your area, and you hook up from there. So I ended up meeting this guy at the Glendale Galleria. And we made plans to show up there. We were going to meet at the food court, and then we were going to go do whatever we were going to do after that. So we met at the food court. We decided that we liked each other and that we were going to go fuck. And so we get in the car, and he's like, "Oh my God, I'm so excited that, you know, you're just like you said you were. You're real. You know, you've got the green eyes." And he starts looking at my eyes, and psychically I'm picking up. I'm like, "Oh fuck, he's going to catch it." He goes, "Are those contacts?" And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Are those contacts in your eyes?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Are they clear?" And I was like, "Yeah, they're clear contacts." He said, "Move them." And he busted me. He found out that I had brown eyes. And I know that's such a little lie there, but he said something that was so powerful and really, really kicked me in my tits right when he said it. And he had said this: "Once a liar, always a liar. Can you just pull over so I can get out?" And I was like, "What? All because I lied about the color of my eyes?" And he was very insistent on it. He was like, "Yeah, you will lie again about something else." And he got out of the car, and you know what? I could have been a total fucking bitch. Saying, "You know what? Fuck you, and all this other bullshit." I was like, whoa, that was kind of heavy. Like, I got a good taste of my own medicine, and I respected him for that. And I started using that line, and I vowed that I would do my absolute best from that point. Again, I was really young, not to lie. Didn't work out so well, but I'm definitely taking that kid. We were both kids at the time. That kid's advice, and applying it to relationships now. So that's where I'm at when it comes to relationships. Again, do yourself some justice, ladies, gentlemen. Take some time to go within, dig deep here, figure out, I keep saying it over and over again, figure out what makes you tick, figure out what your fears and insecurities are about yourself, and especially when it comes to relationships, weed it all out, get rid of it. It no longer fucking suits you. It's just a fucking fear. I mentioned this before. It has no power. It has no physical strength to hold you down. That is all you doing that to yourself here. If you really want a relationship and you want to live a happy life, you want to get married, squeeze out a couple of puppies, have that little pretty white house in the sky, you are fully capable of doing that. But get right with yourself first, so you're not sabotaging that relationship, and you're not bringing in negative energy or just bullshit to the relationship, and you can be happy, 100% you, 100% authentic, and just relationship material, because you deserve it. People ask, "How can I get more in touch with my intuition? What, you know, how do I know my guides are telling? How do I know my guides are talking to me? How do I know these are signs?" Bitch, wake up! Relationships aren't working out for you. What more do you fucking need? There's your sign right there. Relationships aren't working out for you. What do I need to do? Not what do they need to do. What do I need to do to ensure that I have the best relationship that I could possibly have? Figure that shit out first. Be alone. Don't distract yourself. Guys too, I'm not going to expose my guy friend here, but I have a really, really good guy friend that I met about 3 years ago. I think of this guy as a little brother. Love him to death. He's horrible on himself. Horrible. And you know who I'm talking about out there. You're probably going to kick my fucking ass, and you're fully capable of doing it, but I don't give a fuck. You have no business, my love, getting involved in a relationship right now. You've got too much bullshit, too much mental baggage in your fucking head to even think about infecting somebody else with it. I'm telling you, that's all you're going to fucking do here. It's not fair to the other woman. Yes, you are a gorgeous person. Yes, you are fully dedicated and a loyal person, but your goddamn demons, are horrible. They will strangle the shit out of anybody that crosses their fucking path. So again, I advise you, your biggest question to me is, how do I do it? You're going to have to fucking make yourself do it. You're going to have to eat crow and go within and sit there and really get inside your fucking head. Just like you allow these thoughts to infiltrate your mind on a daily basis, you're going to have to go within and remove them from your mind. It's not an easy fucking process. Again, it's not going to take a week. It's not going to take a day. It's not going to take a year. You can't change stupid in one fucking day. It is impossible. So, my friend, love you very much. I'm going to advise you to take this time to go within, clear out that negativity, realize who you are, what it is that you're looking for in a relationship, and be right with yourself here. Realize that you can stand on your own two feet before you can get involved, before you get involved in that relationship there, and you bring that type of energy. Done with relationships. If you guys have any questions or you want more insight on it, you guys know how to get a hold of me. On to my next topic, which is attachment. The attachments that I'm talking about today are spiritual attachments. And I've got a really, really good story when it comes to that. I had a good friend. And again, these are one of those people that I had to close the door on, who I was really good friends with for almost 10 years. And this person was my go-to when it came to politics. I am not someone that gets involved in politics. I don't talk about it. I don't give a fuck about it. I don't care. It's not my realm. It's so fucking corrupted. There's no point in even investing time into it. But for those of you that do, good luck to you. Hope it doesn't stress you out too much. But when I was being visited by this William Cooper, the conspiracy theorist, I didn't know half the shit that he was telling me. And my friend was a heavy CNN watcher, heavy Fox News watcher, knew about politics, knew about conspiracy theories, knew about government bullshit here. So I would tell her about my hits that William would give me, and she would dissect them and tell me, this is what he's talking about, X, Y, and Z. And then I started getting more involved in it. I started tuning into some of the news stuff and realizing what it was that he was telling me about, because I wanted to know for myself. But again, she was my go-to, so fucking smart. She was a Virgo, double Virgo, just like my other friend. And if you know anything about Virgos, I shit on them all the time, but they're actually very, very fucking smart people. They know a little bit about a lot of fucking different things. They're so diverse, and their memory is fucking unfucking believable. They don't forget shit. They will bring up shit to a fucking T that happened 20 fucking plus years ago. They do not forget. They're very, very fucking sharp. I love going to them for advice and hearing their opinions and their thoughts, because I can banter back and forth when it comes to shit like that. However, when it comes to emotions, stay the fuck away from me, Virgos. So going back to my friend, I was living in Oregon at the time, and I would come down to LA to visit, to get, you know, to get some weed and to, you know, to hang out with my peeps and shit. And it was one of those weekends, and I had made plans to go over to my friend's house, and she wanted to have, you know, cocktails at her house and cook for me. And she wanted to invite her friend over. I won't mention that friend's name. I said, fine. I said, I don't want to do a heavier reading. I'm on vacation. I just want to relax. I want to smoke some weed, get fucked up, and just talk all kinds of shit. She said, okay, we can do that afterward, but please, she's dying for a reading. I said, okay. So I get to the house. Me and my friend have a couple of cocktails before that girl gets there, and we're just having a good time, and I'm feeling antsy. I don't know why I'm feeling antsy. I'm feeling a little bit anxious. I don't like the way, I feel like I need to be expecting something. And I was like, I hope it's not this fucking girl, but I knew deep down inside it was. She pulls up, my friend brings her to the backyard where we were sitting at, and she introduces me to her. I don't want to shake her hand. I just look at her, and right off the bat, didn't like her. There was something off about her energy. I felt that she was a liar. I felt that there was some sort of mental defect when it came to her. I felt like she had an attachment on her, a real attachment. I could see this thing. And you guys are going to think I'm fucking weird, and please, but I actually saw something on her back that was attached to her, and it looked like it was feeding off of her. Again, I know that sounds weird. That's just what I saw in my mind's eye. I didn't see anything physically on her. When I closed my eyes, that's what I saw, was an attachment to her. First time I've ever seen that on anybody. This is the first time that I'm speaking on it here. And so we're sitting there, we're having a good time, we're talking or whatever, and that girl gets up to go to the bathroom, and she leaves me and my friend there in the backyard. And so my friend automatically right away hits me up and is like, so what do you think of her? And I was like, dude, I don't fucking like her. And she's like, why? And I was like, I just feel like she's off. I said, she's the kind of bitch that would have a suitcase in the trunk of her car and could leave at any God-given time here. There's just something all over the place with her. I can't, whenever I would try to tap into her psychically to get her, to get hits off of her mental, it was like, it would be jumping around. I couldn't quite nail her down here. She didn't want to get nailed down. It was to avoid or not wanting me to tap in or to look in at her. So that threw me off. I don't like that kind of energy. My friend was like, you are so fucking wrong. You're such a fucking shit talker. I'm going to call bullshit on this one here. She's the sweetest girl ever. I love her. She's like my daughter, blah, blah, blah. I said, fucking have the bitch. I don't give a fuck. I don't fucking like her. I don't care what you have to say here. This is what I'm picking up here. Keep this bitch away from me. I will definitely just, you know, be as formal and as polite as I could be here, but no more readings here. I'm done with her. My friend says, okay, or whatever. We continue drinking. We have a good time or whatever. That girl leaves. After that girl leaves, I told my friend, I know you don't want to fucking hear it, but watch out for her. There's something attached to her soul, to her presence there. And I don't like it. And I said, and you being you, I feel like right now at this point in your life, you're very vulnerable to that type of energy there. Be careful with it. She can infect your life. You're crazy. You're off. please don't say anything bad about my friend anymore, blah, blah, blah. I love her, whatever. I'm not going to listen to this. Okay, fine. Don't listen to it. That was that. I go back to Oregon a couple days later and, you know, go about my normal routine. She goes about her normal routine. My friend calls me and tells me that they went hiking and they took that girl with her. It was her husband, her husband, that weird girl, and another person. They all went hiking. That girl apparently stubbed her toe while she was hiking up in the mountains. And it became this big old predicament. She couldn't walk. She had sprained her foot, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And my friend sometimes looks for a reason to give me shit or to talk shit to me. And sometimes I'll play along with it just to fuck with her, just to poke at her. But this time I wasn't having it. I was like, I'm not gonna go there, because if she says something slick, I'm gonna lose my fucking shit. So I just left it alone. She calls me a couple days later and tells me that there's something wrong with that girl's foot, that they think that she can't walk on it. They had to put a cast on it, but the doctors can't find anything wrong with it. At best, it's a hairline fracture. I couldn't keep my fucking mouth shut. I was like, there's nothing wrong with this girl. This is all in her fucking mind. She's making this up. I said, I bet you anything, in a couple days, she's not going to be able to walk at all. Something's going to be wrong with her. God, you're so fucking mean, Chris. Like, how can you say that about her? She's like in pain and she's really scared and this is affecting her life. This is affecting her life because the idiot's allowing it to affect her fucking life. I don't buy it. She gets mad. We hang up. Couple days later, or a week later, this girl is in a wheelchair and she cannot fucking walk. She's in a fucking wheelchair. She has to be wheeled around. It wasn't a motorized wheelchair to make it convenient for everybody else. This is one that you had to fucking push old school here. She's in a wheelchair now. She can't walk. And now both of her fucking legs are infected or affected by this. My friend calls up and said, this is a medical mystery, blah, blah, blah. We don't know what's going on. I said, she's a fucking liar. I don't buy this. I end up coming out to LA again to do the whole getting high thing and fucking drinking, having a good time, being with my peeps here. I meet up with my friend again and she says, we have to go see my friend. I told her I was going to bring her some food. You don't have to get out of the car. Just wait there. But I told her, I said, okay, fine. Like a dumb fuck, I end up getting out of the car. She invites us in the house because she says she has some smoke. Anybody that knows me knows that all you have to say is there's weed in the house and my ass is fucking in there. We go to her backyard and it's as hot as fuck. We're having a conversation. I'm looking at her in this fucking wheelchair. No disrespect to people that are handicapped or that are disabled. I'm not talking shit about them. This girl was not disabled and she was not handicapped, but she sure as hell was sitting in that fucking wheelchair like she was. Her legs, you know when somebody's handicapped and they don't have the use of their legs, their legs are kind of tilted sideways. The bitch had her fucking legs like that. Like she was paralyzed. And I'm looking at her and her energy's even worse. I just don't like the attachment. I could hear it seething. I know that sounds weird, but I could actually hear it seething off of her. Her mother decides that she's going to make an appearance at this little get-together too. And I was trapped. I was duped. I'm going to be honest. I did not realize that I was being tricked. My friend had it all along to get me to go back there to give a reading to the mother. That's what the mother was hoping, that I would read her. So we go, so we're in the backyard, we're getting stoned, and the mom is like, oh my God, Chris, what a pleasure to meet you. You know, so-and-so has told me so much about you. What an honor to have you in my home. Can you do me a favor? Can you give me a reading, please? And can you read the house? I'll pay you whatever you want. I try to politely decline. I was like, I am fucking stoned beyond belief here. Probably now is not a good time, but I can do it another time. And she's like, well, I'm not going to be here. You know, if you wouldn't mind, I'll pay you whatever you want. I said, fine. I said, okay, but I need you guys to stay out here and I'm taking my friend in with me because she's going to write notes about what's going on here. I did not want the fucking idiot in the wheelchair in the house with me. I didn't want the fucking crazy mom to be there. Let me just dissect the mom real fast. This is a woman who has everything in her house Native American, but it's not Native American. I am Apache Indian. I take that part very seriously here. Nothing against those that are not, but she was trying to pretend to be something that she's not. And she also brought up spells in like witchcraft and black magic and shit, and said that she dabbled in that and that she was a big Ouija board fan. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I did not want that bitch anywhere fucking near me while I was reading this fucking house. So I had my dumbass fucking friend come in there with me. We go inside the house and I tell my friend, I fucking hate your living guts. I could knock the fucking shit out of you right here for making me do this. And she's like, oh, come on. It's, you know, they love this fucking shit. You know, they're just, you know, they've never had this happen. I'm like, fine, let's fucking get this over and done with. Start making my way through the house. I go in the living room. picking up something following me around, but this is more than just one person. This is a group of people, and I feel the energy being excited and wondering what the fuck I'm doing there. I could hear the little whispers going back and forth. I decided to go start with that, the dumb fucks room, and I go in her bedroom, and right off the bat, I could pick up negative energy in there. And there was something drawing my attention towards the closet. And when I started walking, I heard a girl say, "Hello." And I was like, "Oh my God, there's somebody in the closet here." My friend was like, "What?" I was like, "There's a girl in here." And she said, "Hello." I said, "But she lives in the closet, but to her, it's not the closet. This is like a different realm or a different, I don't want to use the word dimension or anything like that, but to her, it wasn't like she was living inside of a closet. That was more along the lines of a bedroom or something there. I don't know. That's what the energy that I was picking up. That's what I can see tapping into her mind and picking up the ghost energy. She said, "Do you mind telling her to take this picture down?" And I was like, "What picture?" And she said, "Come here." And I started walking towards the closet. A lot of people asked me, "Were you afraid that she was going to pull you in?" No, I wasn't afraid. I was just more like curious as to what was going on. And I could feel it getting stronger and stronger. So she brings me towards the closet. I walk kind of in the closet there. And there's a picture of a Catholic saint taped up on the side of the closet door there. And she said, "Can you have her take this down?" And I tapped into her mind and I was like, "Oh yeah, absolutely." I said, I'll see what I can do here. The girl was of a different religion. I want to say she was either Jewish or she was of some different religion that she didn't pray to saints or that wasn't her thing here. And it was kind of disrespectful to her. So she asked that I asked the woman, the girl to take it off of the wall. I said, I would do so. That's all the energy that I felt in there. I also felt that something would sit there in front of that girl's bed and watch her while she was sleeping. I felt like that was more of her attachment, kind of just sitting there eyeballing her. I made my way out of her bedroom and I start walking towards the hallway, and there's a bathroom in there, in that hallway. And I make my way in the bathroom, and as soon as I walk in, there's a gust of wind that rushes past me. And in my mind's eye, I know that sounds stupid, but I closed my eyes to see what it was there. And I see this loop of somebody running from the dumb fuck's bedroom into the bathroom, back and forth, and they're throwing up. They're sick to their stomach. They're running from the bedroom, trying not to throw up in their hand, and making it into the bathroom and throwing up in the toilet, and then coming back out and repeating the same thing. It's like on a constant loop. And I told my friend, I said, "There's somebody here that's anorexic or bulimic." I said, "I have a feeling it's that girl." I said, "But we'll get to that afterward. But make a note of that. There's somebody walking in here. There's somebody bulimic or anorexic here. But this is a live person. That's the energy that's coming in here." So we make our way to the living room where I was walking at, because I kept feeling like I was going to walk into a wall, even though I wasn't. I was like, there's something off here. I feel like I'm going to walk into a wall. That's when the spirits were telling me that they did a lot of remodeling and there used to be a wall there. That's probably what I'm picking up. And I was like, okay. So I start walking towards the fireplace. They show me that the fireplace was handmade by the last owner, who was older there. And I could see him stoking the fire. And I also picked up, I know this sounds a little weird here, I'm not trying to be funny again, but I felt like this person had prostate cancer. You guys are going to think I'm so weird, but I felt like my ass or that part of my body heat up right there. And I was like, why is that happening there? And then I saw blood coming from the bottom of the guy's pants. So to me, that was some sort of prostate issue or something, that was some sort of cancer that took his life there, where he was bleeding from there. But he would spend so much time in front of that fire stoking it. He was really proud of his work. That was validated by the owner of the house telling me that that actually happened. I make my way towards down the other hallway, getting towards the other bedrooms. I walk into a study. There was a makeshift office there. I walk in there. They told me to close the door. But as I'm getting ready to close the door, the door slams on its own, and I could hear, "When this door's closed, don't bother me." Somebody saying something like that. I was like, what the fuck? And I told my friend, I was like, whoever is in this room here is a miserable motherfucker. They feel like it's them against them. I said, I'm assuming this is her husband here, that he thinks that they're crazy or there's something off about the relationship between the mom, the husband, and the daughter here. But he, when he's in here, he wants his privacy. That means don't bother him when that door is fucking closed. She made a note of that. We end up going into the mother's bedroom. This is where all the bullshit went down. This is where it was completely sickening to me. I get in the room and it smells like a mixture of sage, perfume, shit and pee, almost like a convalescent home with perfume and sage in it. There's so much fucking energy in this room. There's so many fucking spirits. I closed my eyes And I bring up a Polaroid snapshot. That's what I, that's the first time that's my first go-to is it looked like when I snapped my eyes that they took a Polaroid snapshot of the room and I saw all these ghosts in the room. And in the front was this elderly woman right in the front of everybody else. And she's staring at the camera with a blank stare. I close my eyes again to see what I get off this woman. And the focus comes in clearer and it's more pronounced that it was her that I was to look at. And she has like this blank look on her face and she, at the same time, she's also telling me, and I know it sounds disgusting, that she shit on herself and she doesn't know where she's at. And that I tapped in and it was either the great grandmother or the grandmother of the mother there. I'm getting nauseous and I'm trying hard not to throw up there. I literally fall to my knees. My friend's like, get up, you idiot. You can't throw up here. And I was like, get me the fuck out of here. Get me out of here. So I literally crawled out of the bedroom, ran out into the backyard where the two idiots were sitting at. And was like trying hard not to throw up. I was gagging. I was pissed. And the mom was like, what's going on? Are you okay? What happened? I go, you. And she like looked at me and I was like, you. I said, are you in your bedroom seeing any spirits or anybody that wants to make contact or looking for a safe place can come here? This is an open door. She said, yes, I say that all the time. I said, stop fucking saying that. Your room is so congested with people in there. I said, it's like the house of the sick here. I said, and also, who is the old lady? I said, is this your grandmother that has dementia or Alzheimer's that's shitting and pissing all over herself that doesn't know where she's at? I said, you're attracting her. You're bringing her here and she doesn't know where else to go. I said, stop doing that. You are in no position. You have no authority and no power to be doing this fucking bullshit. You're hindering them from ascending and from them leaving here. You're keeping them here. She did not fucking like that. She fucking hated that. She actually asked me to leave. You can tell that it was very, very tense there. I didn't give a shit. I also told the girl that was in the wheelchair. I just like looked at her and I was like, and you know what I'm going to say. And I just ended up walking out and I left. To make a long story short, we get in the car. My friend's like, what the fuck? Are you okay? And I was like, it's taking everything in me not to fucking knock your teeth down your fucking throat. I'm so fucking irritated with you. Get me the fuck out of here. Get some alcohol in my body. Let's get the fuck out of here. So we're driving to the bar to go get something to drink. My friend's asking me what's going on here. I said, this girl, I said, mark my words, in a couple weeks, there's going to be a guy walking into her office that's gonna show some sort of, it's going to give her some sort of attention there in a very romantic type of way. And I bet you the bitch ends up walking. I bet you fucking anything. You are so hell bent on proving this girl wrong, aren't you? And I was like, 100%. I don't fucking like her. I said, and another thing too, she's fucking anorexic. I said, did you see when she was yawning and when she was talking, the sores that were in the back of her mouth and on her tongue? That's from fucking throwing up. And she was like, what the... I was like, yeah. True to Chris fashion, in a couple weeks, she ended up walking. She ended up getting herself involved in a relationship. Everything was normal again. What a medical mystery. Fast forward to the attachment there. I had told my friend, again, Now that I proved myself right, now that I told you what was going to happen, stay away from this bitch. I have a bad feeling she's going to infect your fucking house, and I have a feeling this is going to take a toll on your marriage. She's back to normal. She's happy, blah, 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 blah. This girl comes in and starts flirting with my friend's husband. And making the googly eyes and kind of flirting with him. He's receptive to it. He's flirting back with her. My friend sees it. Still doesn't want to call this girl out on her fucking bullshit. Still invites her over. It progressively starts to get worse there. There's things that are going on in the house with my friend, her husband, and even her son that aren't making sense. Just weird, weird, random things are going on here. And I kept telling my friend, I'm telling you, it's that fucking person. Stay the fuck away from her. Again, I'm going back to what I said about my friend about being smart and being my go-to for shit. She really is somebody that was really smart and that I would go to for all the time. I don't recognize who she is now. So much has gone on between that time to where we're at now, to where her life has done a complete 180, and I don't even recognize the person that she is. To make a long story short, this thing attached itself to her, took on her negativity, brought her fears into reality. She ended up divorcing her husband, getting herself involved in a relationship that was just horrible. This idiot had the nerve to ask me to go in psychically to tap into the person that she was seeing after her and her husband were done. And I told her, I don't have a good feeling about it. I said, I keep seeing the devil card come up. I know that I mentioned that I don't do tarot, but I like the symbolisms of tarot and I like what the cards represent. And I kept seeing this devil card come up. And to me, that reminds me of addiction. That reminds me of misleading. That reminds me of manipulation. That reminds me of dark, sexual taboo habits. That's what I picked up on. I said there's something about his sexual habits that are perverted, that go against you and your core and your soul here. It goes against, and I'm not one to use this word here, but it goes against your morals. There's something morally wrong with him. You are wrong. I am so sick of you being so negative. Everybody has these positive fucking readings and you come at me with this negativity all the fucking time. It's like you never want me to be happy. And I'm like, bitch, you never want to be happy. You know better than this, and you get yourself involved in all this stupid shit and you're wanting to point the finger at somebody else. The problem is you and your decisions. I'm going to tell you, don't get involved in this relationship. I have a bad feeling about it. Don't fucking do it. I have a feeling it's just not for you. It's the devil here. She's going to go against what I say as usual to try to prove me wrong. She ends up getting involved in this relationship. She actually found out some horrible shit about this person that, when I tell you, is beyond disgusting. It is fucking beyond disgusting. I will not get into it. You use your imagination. It is disgusting as it fucking sounds. After uncovering all this bullshit, because that attachment, I don't care what you say, you can tell me that maybe she's just crazy or whatever, that could be here, but she wasn't like that before this bitch came into the picture. This thing attached itself to her, it embedded itself into her, it changed her personality, it changed the color of her eyes, it changed her aura, it changed her presence, it made her more jaded, more, when I say evil, I don't take that lightly. Her speech is more, how can I say this, it's more, harsh. It's more slick tongue and sharp tongue and more in more wanting to take jabs at you and hurt you. I don't recognize who this person is. I had to call it quits with her. She still ended up being with this person even after he dragged her through the mud, even after she found out all this fucking bullshit. Her biggest thing was, you know, my mind knows what's wrong here, but my heart doesn't. My heart doesn't want to let go. Well, your heart's a fucking idiot and you deserve what you get here. So you go fucking do you. I'm fucking done here. I had to tell her that, this friendship is done. I don't recognize who you are anymore. I'm not turning my back on you, but I have tried to help you out each and every step of the way here. You refuse to listen to it. You're going to ultimately do what you're going to do. So you made your bed. Now you go fucking lie in it. I'm out. There's no fucking place for me there. I don't condone that behavior. It would make me a complete fucking hypocrite of what I preach here. So you go do you, I go do me. But yeah, attachments are real. Let me know what you guys think about that. Let me know if you guys know anybody that's gone through some bullshit like that. Last thing I want to talk about is ghosts. Okay, so I mentioned the knocker last time, on last week's episode, and the knocker is very real. This fucker comes at least 2 times a year and does it maybe 2 or 3 times in one night, and the knock always sounds like this. It's 3 hard knocks like that, and it'll either knock on the front door or on the wall above my head. The last time that happened was about a couple weeks ago. I heard it in the house and I thought somebody was knocking on the front door. It woke me up out of my sleep. I thought I heard somebody open the front door, got up, nobody was there. And I was like, oh God, here we go again. Haven't heard anything since then. I think it was just trying to get my attention, but I'm not going to lie. I tried recording this episode yesterday when I was by myself and I got into the knocker immediately and just started picking up all kinds of weird energy. There was something walking around upstairs. I heard the blinds being fucked with upstairs. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm the only one here. I'm not going to psych myself out. Yes, I still get fucking scared here. It's just who I am. The last time that it really, really hit heavy was when Jay and I were living in Oregon, and we moved into this house that was, it was our middle house, but I hated this fucking house. It was in Salem. It just was in a bad area. It was one of those tract style houses that you, I don't know if you guys ever watched Dawn of the Dead, but you know what, at the very beginning when, the zombies come out and all the houses look the same. That's what it reminded me of. Every house on the street was the same, just different color doors and just painted differently, but all the same. Hated the energy in that house. It was very stagnant. It was very old. No matter what I did to kind of loosen up the energy, I could have saged, I could have incensed it. Nothing was, it didn't lighten it up for some reason. We ended up moving there in July, and in Oregon, it's rare that you find a place that has air conditioning because they don't really require it because it's usually cold throughout the year, but summertime is hot as fuck. I don't know why they don't have air conditioners in the house. And in the last house that I lived in before that, my room was downstairs, so I never had to endure the heat rising to the second floors. So this house was like that. It was miserably hot in there. Didn't fucking like it. My room was so fucking huge in this house. When I say huge, it looked like a studio apartment. It was really, really fucking big. I didn't have enough furniture to fill that fucking room up. So it was just, you know, a couple of things in there and like all this empty space. But again, the energy was off there. I felt like something was trying to connect with me there. We moved in, you know, lived there for a couple months. The knocker decides to make his appearance. And this time the knock was right above my head, and it was the distinct three knocks, and woke me up. And I was like, what the fuck? Waited to hear something else. Didn't hear anything. Try to fall back asleep. Dozed off for a little bit. And then I hear, and I shit you not, I hear the three knocks again, but I hear the fucking front door open, and I hear somebody say, hello. Just like that. And I'm in my room. Jay's in his room. My kids are asleep in their bedrooms. And I text Jay and I was like, do me a favor, go and make sure that the front door is locked. I said, I thought I heard the door open and somebody say hello. I said, I don't know, maybe the wind knocked it open and they're trying to get our attention there. They don't want to come upstairs, but can you go see? I leave all the responsibility on Jay. I can hear him get up, fumble around, walk downstairs, check the door, come right back up. He text messages me and it's like, there's nobody there, front door is locked, everything's good to go. And he goes, why? And I said, oh, I don't want to scare you, I'll tell you in the morning. But yeah, that is the knocker. That happens all the time to me. It doesn't seem shady. It doesn't, when I try to tap in psychically to it and to see what it looks like or see what it is, I don't get a human form. I don't get like it was human or a ghost or a spirit of somebody else. I don't get the fact that I don't get it like it's an animal or anything like that. I just get like an energy. That's all that I can describe it. And the knock always reminds me of, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Amityville 2, The Possession. That is the same knock. Like when that fucking ghost is knocking on the devil's knocking on the front door and it makes those hard ass knocks. That's exactly what the fuck it sounds like. And it is just as scary and just as intense. And it comes out of fucking nowhere. That is the knocker. I don't know if you guys witnessed that or if you guys know about that or if that's happened to you here. I'd love to hear your stories, but that is something that's been with me ever since I was a kid. I've heard that. I've been hearing that for the longest fucking time. And again, I cannot make connection with it. I cannot tap in. I don't know what it wants here. It doesn't seem to be scary. It just seems to be wanting to get my attention. And it always happens at night. And this is not the bewitching hour or anything like that. I don't want to get shady like that, but it's usually between 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning. That's when that thing decides to make its presence. Call it the witching hour, I don't care, but that's when it comes into play here. I also brought up shadow people. I got a good dose of shadow people when I was living in that Salem house. I was doing a lot of podcasts that were conspiracy theories or that involved aliens and having to do political and government type issues. And I didn't like doing it. My guides warned me not to say too much. That's why you never hear me talk about politics or anything like that, because it's just not my realm. It's not my place to. I don't like it. I don't give a fuck about it. I don't know enough about it to comment on it. I mean, if you want me to read the person that's running or whatever the fuck, I can do that. But when it comes to politics, I stay the fuck out of it. I stick to what I know, and that's not what I know. But during this time, these fucking shows would want me to really dig deep and bring up stuff that was military or was government related. And I was getting all kinds of people hitting me up and telling me to mind my own fucking business, threatening me, telling me that they would blackball me, that I should look up so-and-so here. It was a psychic that was coming on and was trying to expose people. Look where they're at now, blah, blah, blah. During this time, I would feel shadow people. I could feel somebody infiltrating my mind. And I know that sounds fucking psycho. I could feel somebody tapping in. I could feel their presence. No, I did not see an actual shadow out of the corner of my eye. That's just all that I can call it. It was just shadowing me, following me around, trying to tap in, trying to see where I was at. And it usually would try to come in when I was asleep or when I was by myself. And I would tap in and say, get out. But I could feel them. I can feel them kicking around in my fucking head. They're kind of tapping in. I could feel a psychic vibration. That is also what happens when I'm around autistic children. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but autistic kids are on a different fucking frequency. A lot of people dismiss them because of, you know, they say it's a mental health issue and that, you know, they blame their autism for the way that they are and all this other stuff, but they're just on a fucking different level. I'll share this one story and then I'll get back into shadow people. But one time Jay and I went to go work out. We went to the gym. And we walk in and we're setting our stuff down. We're getting ready to work out. And I hear interference. Like, you know, when a microphone gives feedback, that's what I heard in my head. And it was so loud and was so piercing that I grabbed my ears and I was like, oh, fuck. And Jay was like, what's the matter? And I was like, hold on a second. There's somebody else here. And it was like, what am I? There's like another psychic or somebody that's sensitive here. Where the fuck are you? And I must have looked fucking crazy because I'm covering my ears and I'm panning the fucking room and I'm looking around and I start panning the room and I'm staring at everybody trying to make a connection. And I see this kid. He must have been like 7 or 8, maybe 10 at the oldest, 10 at the absolute oldest. And in his mind, and I know you're gonna, I know it sounds crazy, he said, hi. And I was like, oh, wow, it's you. And then the interference starts to fade out, and I'm looking at him, and he's just looking at me, and he knows that I knew that he knew that I was reading his mind, and I knew that he knew that I heard him. And I just waved at him and said, smiled back and said hi to him. His dad is like, what are you doing? What are you looking at? And he said, oh, I was just saying hi to that guy over there. And the dad looks at me, and I don't want to look crazy, and I'm a big old queen here. I don't want him to think I was checking out his kid or being some sort of creeper or whatever. So I just waved at the dad, and I was just like, oh, I was just saying hi to your son or whatever. He said hi to me. He said, oh, okay, and went about his business. But yeah, autistic kids, they're just on a different fucking wavelength. Their frequencies that are, I don't know if I want to call them autistic so much as I want to call them special. There's just something unique about them. But yeah, going back to shadow people, it's almost like that, but it's not as high as a frequency as that autistic kid. It's more of like, you know, when old school, there used to be telephones in people's houses, landlines, and there used to be at least 3 or 4 fucking phones throughout the house, one in your bedroom, one in the living room, one in the kitchen, blah, blah, blah. And whenever somebody was on the phone, you can always hear the other person pick up the other extension. It would make a little bit of a click there. That's the only way I can describe the shadow people infiltrating my mind is feeling like somebody picked up the phone and they're tapping in. That's the only way that I can describe it. It still happens to this day. I'm really careful when I go traveling, especially with airports there. There's a lot of fucking shady shit. I will never go back to Denver again. Never go back to Denver. There's something about Colorado. I'm sure it's a beautiful fucking place and people love it there, and it's great for fucking skiing and snow there. Your fucking airport there is shady as a motherfucker. I could not wait to get the fuck out of it. Jay was like, what's the matter with you? I was like, I need to get out of here right now. There's something in here, and if I don't get out of here soon, I'm gonna tap into it, and I don't want to uncover anything that's going on here. There's just something below that airport. There's something underneath it that's shady as fuck. I can't explain it. There was a Native American guy who was full-blown Native. I don't know what tribe he was from, but as I was going down the escalator, or I think it was an escalator, at the Denver airport, he is in mid-sentence and he's talking to somebody else there. He's whoever he's with. In mid-sentence, he stops and he looks at me, and he's fucking just staring at me. Just this blank look on his face, just staring at me. And I told Jay, oh my God, he's looking at me. And Jay's like, he is looking at you. And I was like, well, fuck. And I kept looking away. I kept looking away and then looking back. And every time I looked back at him, he was still fucking staring at me. Whatever he picked up on, he knew what the fuck. And I picked up on him as well, too. It was a mutual fucking respect. He wasn't shitty to me. He wasn't rude. It was just kind of like, I can see you. And I was like, yeah, and I can see you. Crazy fucking bullshit. But yeah, that I know it's not a shadow person, but I'm bringing in him because it there's a lot of shadow energy when it comes to that Denver airport. Again, I will never go back there again. Don't know what the significance is. Don't want to know what it is. You keep that to yourself. But yeah, shadow people, negative energy, attachments, relationships. We are all over the place on today's episode. But let me go into some more ghost stories here. Back at that house in Salem, with all the energy there, Jay and I, and he can tell you this himself, we were, it was, you know, Oregon rains a lot here, and it rains a lot there, and I like it. I like the rain. I'm a total rain person, and I love staying home with the fucking fireplace on, watching scary movies. It was one of those nights, the kids, I don't know where the fuck they were at. I think they were visiting their mom at that time, and Jay and I were the only ones left in the house. We decided to watch The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio, and we're sitting downstairs, and we're getting ready to watch it. I'm laying on the floor. Jay's laying on the couch. We're setting up the pipes to get stoned, and all of a sudden, we hear something running upstairs. It wasn't walking fast. It wasn't fucking skipping. This shit was running, and it sounded like it came out of my son's bedroom and ran all the way down the hall upstairs to Jay's bedroom and stopped. And Jay and I, because he is already so used to it, and I'm obviously used to it, but it still scares you. It still gooses you every now and then. He just looked at me and he was like, threw his hands up and was like, fuck it. Like what, you know, what are we going to do? And I was like, let me go upstairs and go check it out. Went upstairs. My son's door was closed. Didn't see anything up there, whatever. Went about our business, watched the fucking movie, kept hearing more shit, the walls cracking upstairs, more movement upstairs, nothing. Kept getting up, went to go check, nothing. Jay decides that he's going to go upstairs to his room and go to bed. I'm going to do laundry downstairs, started folding laundry, watching my favorite show, Forensic Files. Go upstairs to go take the kids' laundry to their bedroom. And as I'm walking up these fucking First of all, the stairs in this fucking house were steep as fucking fuck. They always reminded me of the stairs from The Exorcist. You know, where the priest at the end throws himself out the fucking window and goes tumbling down, and it's that steep fucking stairwell. I always had visions that one of us was going to fall down those fucking stairs in the house because it was that fucking steep. It was like climbing up a fucking ladder. So anyways, climbing up the stairs here, they're so steep that you really can't see the top of the floor up there until you're like more than halfway up the stairs. And I was starting to get more than halfway up the stairs, and I saw, I shit you not, feet, just feet, walking across the floor upstairs. Didn't see a body attached to it, didn't see the knees or pants or anything like that. It was just feet. It was as high up as the ankles, but that was it. No more, no fucking less, just a walk across there. I could not make out the ethnicity of the person. It looked like it was gray or clouded or like kind of a smoky type appearance. I couldn't tell whether they were black, white, or Hispanic, whatever the fuck. Just the feet were up there, and I was like, fuck. That house, again, so fucking crazy. Whatever was in there was attracted to my fucking energy, and I remember zoning out and doing my meditation in my room by myself while everybody else was asleep, because that's when I like to do it, and I would fuck with it, and I would ask, go ahead, show me that you're here. Show me that you're listening to me. If you are really here, do something. The fucking wall would crack. My friend, the one that passed away, was living there at the time as well too. He was in the room one time witnessing when I was trying to, I wasn't doing a seance. I go, do you want me to tap into it? Do you want me to freak you out? And he was like, yeah, let's see it. Ask it for a sign or whatever. I said, but you cannot break this. You cannot get scared and leave or get me scared to where I jump. If anything happens, remain fucking calm. Don't fucking move. He's like, okay. So we're sitting on the fucking bed, and I start to zone out, and I was like, I was rocking back and forth and trying to tap into the energy, and I heard it, and I was talking to it. I was like, I could hear you. And my friend is just as quiet as he could fucking be. And I was like, you're in the corner of the room. Why don't you walk toward us? And why don't you tap on something to let us know that you're here? It tapped on my dresser. And then I asked, okay, give us another sign. And the light, we had just the light. There was like 20 different lights in my room. One was in the closet, one was in the bathroom, one was in the vanity area of the bathroom. We had the one in the closet just on because we needed a little bit of light. I didn't want to burn candles in the room. So we just had the light from the closet on. The light above my bed, there was a rotating fan that had a light that had a light attached to it that was above my bed. That was off. The fan was off. Everything was off. The light started to flicker as if it was coming on. You know how when somebody has dimmers on their lights and it starts off with a really, really, really faint light? That's exactly what happened. Started off really faint, and then it got brighter there. My friend, it took everything in him not to jump off the fucking bed and run out of the fucking room. He was like, Chris, I think we're done. And I was like, and I tried not to laugh, and I was like, yeah, I think you're right. And I was like, I need you to quietly get up, and I need you to make your way to the door, and I don't need you to run. I need you to walk. I need you to open the door and walk out, and I will follow right behind you. And he was like, right now? And I was like, yes, but keep in mind, I said, I'm smiling as I'm talking to him because I don't want to scare him. And I was like, but don't run and don't walk fast. Just get up and go. It's still here. I don't want it to do anything. I forgot to mention that my friend, the one that passed away, was extremely sensitive as well too. He is the one that had that past life energy. And if anything was going to attach itself to anybody in that house, it would have been him. And I was like, no. So he did what I said. He got up and he walked. I walked behind him. We start walking down the stairs, and then he's more than halfway down the stairs, and he starts running down the stairs and jumps on the couch and is like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, you felt it? I said, you saw it? And he was like, yeah. That's ghosts. That is what happens to me. Do I have the ability to do it? Yes. Do I want to do it? No. I don't like to play with shit like that. I felt like I was on. What I mean by on was performing for my friend there. I wanted to wow him, which I did. So that's ghosts. That is how I get down with ghosts here. There's so many fucking stories. My son has the ability to do it. This fucker actually sees it. I remember before we moved to Oregon, we were living in a house in Simi Valley. It was a 3-bedroom house. Really, really cute. It was really quaint for me and the kids. And my son is such a lazy fucker sometimes. He never wanted to go to the market with me and my daughter. So it would just be me and her going and getting groceries. And he would stay home and just kind of, you know, fuck off at the house. He said that while we were gone that, well, let me back up here. In that house, just like the shuffling of the carpet with that monster to last episode, Me and my son were, I think I mentioned this on another episode, maybe it might have been the first episode, but my son and I, he was always the first one to wake up, and I could always hear his dumb ass shuffling around in his room, and it would irritate the fuck out of me, so I'd always make him come to my room. This is when he was younger, I'm talking about 7 or 8, come in my room and lay down with me and fall back to sleep till it was time for everybody to get up. And he would do that, so I would call him in there, and I would say, you know, come lay down with me. And so he would run into my room and he'd jump in the bed and he would lay down with me and we'd sit there and we'd shoot the shit and we'd talk. I'd make him laugh and just, you know, spending quality time together. And then we'd fall asleep. While we were sitting there talking on the bed, I heard, and you, I'll bring him on the fucking show. I heard a dog running down the hallway in the house. You can hear its feet running. It's the only thing I can describe it is the fucking dog. Its nails hitting across the carpet, running down the fucking hallway, coming towards the bedroom. This thing fucking ran all the way into the bedroom, ran under the fucking bed. My son was like, what the fuck? And I was like, you heard that? He was like, yeah. He's all, what is that? And I was like, did you leave the fucking back door? Didn't you get up and go outside this morning? He's like, no. And I was like, fuck, what if it's a cat, a raccoon, or a fucking possum? Because we lived right there by the side of the freeway. There's all kinds of crazy fucking animals coming in, coming over the fence there and making their way to our backyard. He's like, no, I don't know. He's usually a pussy when it comes to this, but this time he decided he wanted to flex. He was like, I'm going to check it out. And I was like, idiot, be careful, goddammit. And I was like, don't get off the bed. I said, just go on the edge of the bed and just look down from it. Hang down and look from it from there. Don't go on the floor. He's like, okay. So he gets up and he starts, you know, gently walking towards or gently crawls towards the end of the bed, lifts the blankets up, hangs down and looks under. He's like, there's nothing there. And I was like, what? He's like, there's nothing there. I said, are you sure? You're looking at everything. It's not attached to the other blanket. It's not hiding underneath the side of the blanket. He said, no, there's nothing there. He's all, look. I said, get up. And I said, you look. I said, you move all the fucking blankets and look, make sure. He moved all the blankets. Nothing was there. And I was like, but you heard that, right? And he was like, yes. And he goes, I go, what did it sound like? I wanted to make sure it was exactly what it sounded like. He said, it sounded like a dog or some sort of animal running in the house. And I was like, yeah. And now it's gone. That scared him. He was like, whatever. So fast forward, I'm getting to the part where me and my daughter go to the market. My son decides he wants to stay home again, be a lazy ass. We say, okay, fine, stay home. Clean up your room, though, while you're here. I said, okay. We leave. As soon as we leave, he says that he starts feeling something shady in the house. My son is more of a medium than he is psychic. If I'm going to give him any type of ability, I would say he's more on the medium side. My daughter is more on the intuitive, common sense side. She's more, she's a quick thinker. My son is more feely. He could pick up on energy or presences. And that day he said that he felt something shady as soon as we left and he was trying to distract himself. He turned his TV really loud and was just in his room fucking around, cleaning it up. He said he heard the same exact thing running across the carpet, but when he looked towards his door to see what was going to run by, he actually, no shit, saw a lady. He said that she was burned, that she had burn marks on her face. And the reason why I brought up the gray feet was because my son said the same exact thing. I said, what was she? Was she black? Was she white? He said, I couldn't tell. She was gray. And I was like, what do you mean she was gray? And he was like, it was almost like she was smoky. Like you can kind of see through her, but you couldn't. And I was like, but you saw a woman. I said, how did you know it was a woman? He said, because she looked at me. She got scared. And I was like, what do you mean she got scared? And he was like, she ran. She didn't think anybody was here. And she ran past my room. And when she saw me, she looked at me and she looked scared. And then she disappeared. And I was like, well, what made you think that she was burned? He said, because you could see her hair was burned. He didn't know how to say the word singed, but I'm pretty sure it was singed. It looked singed. And he said that her face had marks all over it. But again, he couldn't make out actual patterns or anything else of it because again she looked smoky, she looked gray. My son, it took him a while for him to tell me. He didn't tell me immediately after we got back from the market. He told me a few days later. He was scared. He didn't know how I was going to react. He didn't know if I was going to do what my mom did, was like, you know, take away his scary movies or kind of, you know, tell him no more with that bullshit there. But I respected him and I walked him through it and told him what to do the next time there. And if he feels that, I said, you're just going to have to make amends with that and make peace with the fact that you have that ability. It's something that's going to be following you around for the rest of your life. It's only going to get bigger. It's only going to intensify a little bit more. When it comes time, I'll show you how to utilize it here. Don't be like your grandpa. Don't be afraid of it. And I kind of joked with him about my dad and how he's such a pussy when it comes to seeing ghosts himself there. But again, these two can actually see them. I very rarely see them in form or in the physical appearance here. It's always through my mind's eye and tapping into what they're looking at or what they look like what they would look like if they were in form here. But my dad, my son actually see it. My dad sees women coming and visiting him in the house all the time. Victorian style women. He also, this one scared the fuck out of me. And I shit you not, you guys are going to think that we're fucking crazy. We've been sipping on the hooch too much or smoking too many joints here. But he said he saw the figure of a tiny man banging something on his nightstand. And it was sitting Indian style, and it looked over its shoulder at my dad and gave it this determined look, like whatever it was trying to fix, it was going to fix no matter what. And that it just had like this, like, I was like, was it shady? Did it look shady? He said no, but he knew that I was watching him, and he was trying to fix whatever he was fixing there, and he wasn't going to stop till it was done. I'm all, but it wasn't shady. He said no. And I said, were you dreaming? He said no. I saw this little fucker. He saw I was wide awake. Shit like that happens to my dad. Thank fucking God none of that shit happens to me. I don't know what the fuck I would do with it. I would probably freak the fuck out there. Seeing and feeling this shit is already enough for me. I can't imagine seeing what my son and my dad sees. So yeah, those are ghost stories. My dad is going to do some when he comes on here. So I think I'm going to wrap it up for today's episode. Hopefully I didn't sound all over the place. I'm still recovering from these allergies here, so kind of 90% better here. But yeah, didn't want to miss an episode, didn't want to miss a beat here. Definitely wanted to drop something for Halloween. Hope this does it for you. So yeah, please, please, please keep those emails coming in. Send in topics that you want me to go over. I don't care what they are. I don't care if they sound stupid, if they sound too over the top, send them all in. I'll weed them out. I'll go over each and every one of them. Feel free to email me directly at askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com. Submit emails, submit pictures of yourself, submit yourself for an on-air reading. I'm still going over tons of those emails, trying to figure out who I want to put on there and where you guys are located at. Jay and I are trying to figure out how to do the phone interview thing, so give us some time. We're almost there. If you want a reading, you want more insight in your life, you want me to talk to you about your love life, your career, your path here, hit me up. Let's get a half an hour in. chrismedina.guide. Sign up for readings at chrismedina.guide. If you want to take a good look at me, figure me out, check out my swag, see what I look like, feel free to hit me up on social media at psychicchrism. Social media at psychicchrism. That's for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, keep it dark, keep it gritty, keep it raw, keep it authentic, keep it true, keep it in your head. This is Chris Medina signing off.